Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I welcome you all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And also welcome my sister-in-law Lee and our friends Anush and Manisha. They come to support me. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And I see a lot of new faces here. Now, why don't I just introduce myself for the benefit of those who do not know me. Well, my name is Michael Chen, and I was born in Malaysia. I've been here ever since I was 15 years old. So I've been here for a very long time. I'm a retired accountant, and my home church is in Nauru Baptist Church. Now, for those of you who do know me, you might be surprised that I'm still here. I'm not dead yet. Because the last time I was here, I mentioned that I thought the cancer in my stomach had returned. Remember that the church here prayed for me. That morning they prayed for me, so good. And that following week I had a biopsy done. There was no cancer, only too much acid in my stomach. Anyway, even if I have to walk through the valley of death, I am at peace, because I know that I am saved. So that brings me to this big question this morning: how can I be sure that I am really saved? You know, many Christians, young and old, they ask themselves this question. They don't publicly ask, but they have it in their mind. They think about it. See, how can I be sure I'm really saved? They struggle with that. I remember one time, we visited a very senior lady. She would be about 85. And she had been the deaconess of the church for most of her life. And she was dying of cancer. We visited her at her home, and she was in bed, and she asked me, she said, "Michael, what have I done wrong that God should punish me with this sickness? I hope you will forgive me. Do you think I'll be going to heaven?" You know, things like that, these questions, they show that these persons, they haven't been shown the Word of God. And so this morning, with God's Word, I hope that it will help you start the new year of 2020, which is in 2 or 3 days' time, that you know with confidence that you are really saved, for those of you who are born again. And for those of you who are not, there may be an opportunity this morning. So let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it is such a privilege for me to be here to share your holy words with your people. Father, we know, Lord, that your presence brings life to those who search for you. So I claim in the power of the Holy Spirit that your words, Lord, would bring life, would save many of those who do not know you. And also, Father, your words will bring confidence to those who are not sure whether they are saved or not. The confidence that they start a new year of 2020. So, Father, we commit this time to you. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I read through the book of Jeremiah, and God complained to Jeremiah in chapter 8, verse 7. And God said, "Jeremiah, the doves and the storks in the sky, they all return at the proper time each year. These birds, they know the appointed season. But for my people, they don't know the requirements of the Lord." So in other words, these birds, they know when to come home. But God's people, they don't know the requirements of the Lord for how to get back to their eternal home. You know, recently, I saw a movie called Going Home. It is all about this dog. This dog was briefly cared by a relative 500 kilometers away. And this dog didn't want to stay there. He wanted to go home. And so this dog took off. It took off, and the whole movie was about this dog and his journey finding his way home. Anyway, he had an exciting time. He traveled to snow country. He made friends with the cougar. And after 2.5 years, he finally found his owner and home. Now friends, when you think about this, you and I, we are made in the image of the Almighty God. Only mankind has the ability to know God, to love Him, to worship Him, to serve Him, and to fellowship with Him. But for many of us, we either reject God Jesus, or we don't know our requirements on how to be saved. So therefore, we deny ourselves our eternal home to be where Jesus is. And that's where we ought to be after our earthly journey on this earth. So you think about it, it's so sad. So let's look at the big question this morning again. How can I be sure that I am really saved? As normal, I will summarize the passage of Scripture and come up with two sermon outlines. The first one is no condemnation for the born again, verses 1 to 4. And the difference between the unsaved and the saved. Let's look at the background to this passage of Scripture, this passage here. The Apostle Paul, he wanted to live a righteous life before God. Now, for some of you, you may not know who the Apostle Paul is. He was a Jewish priest who was all out to persecute the Jews who were following Jesus. He would put them in jail, and he would, in the case of Stephen, he approved of Stephen being stoned to death. So on his way to Damascus, Paul met Jesus along the way by means of a bright light that blinded him for 3 days. And after the 3 days, he knew he was wrong. And he became an apostle of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that was the Apostle Paul. And the moment Paul wanted to do good, the devil was right there to trip him up. So as Paul said, the good that I want to do, I don't do. But the things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And so he acknowledged in chapter 7, 24, he acknowledged that he was indeed a wretched man. And so he asked himself this rhetorical question. He says, who will rescue me from this body of death? Who? And he answered his own question in verse 25. He says, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he continued on in verse 1. That's today's verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friend, listen. The entire Bible is like an engagement ring. God's holy words bind us together with Him. But with this verse, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is like the diamond embedded on the engagement ring. It really stands out. This verse is in fact the gospel, or even the theme for the entire Bible. Because everything in the Bible either talks about Jesus or points to Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I shall unpack this verse later. Let's go to verses 2 and 4. Now, verses 2 to 4, explain how unbelievers are saved. And you will notice in here, I've marked it in red, that the Godhead or the Holy Trinity is at work in your life. That is, God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Godhead is at work in your life. So let's read Romans 8, 2 to 4. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that, it was weakened by the sinful nature. So God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so, he condemns in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So when unbelievers come to Christ, the first thing the Holy Spirit does is to free us from the law of sin. In other words, freeing us from a corrupted human nature. Now, the law of sin is like the law of gravity. You throw a ball into the air, it comes down. It happens naturally, right? And like the law of sin, it is natural for us to be born with a sinful, corrupted human nature because of Adam. Adam was the first man God created. He disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit. And because Adam has sinned, his sin has passed down to all mankind, including me, you, and everybody else. I saw an amazing video presentation on YouTube the other day. It is about twins fighting in the mother's womb. There's one there, and the other was there, and it says, sibling rivalry starts early. Fighting early in the mother's womb. And they are fighting because they want more space. More room in there. So you see, friends, we are born with this rebellious behavior right from the time of our conception, right at the time of our earthly death. See, it is simply impossible to change that behavior. In some religion, some religious group, their devotees try to do lots of good works to compensate the bad, to appease God, to be right with God. Now, how would you compensate the bad things that we do that no one can see? Like, for example, evil thoughts, bad thoughts, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the mind. How would you compensate pride? Always thinking that you're better than somebody else. Comparing yourself. How good you are. How would you compensate that? Or coveting. Always wanting something that doesn't belong to you. Try and get it. Try and find ways of getting something that you don't have, that somebody has. Jealousy. Prejudice. And this just goes on. So you see, it is extremely difficult to be good in our own strength. Now here comes the good news. The law of gravity cannot be changed. But we can with the law of sin or our corrupted human nature. Remember Paul's rhetorical question? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Only Christ Jesus our Lord can. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. So the Spirit of Christ will free us from this corrupted body that leads to death. A spiritual death in hell. Total separation from a loving God. So, once again, the big question. How can I be sure that I am really saved? Now, if you can really understand the four stages in verse 3, there are four stages here of God's help to us to be saved. If you can really understand that and accept that, then you know that you are saved. Let's go through these four stages. It says, for what the law is the first stage, was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. So God did by sending His own Son, that is the second stage, in the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering, that is the third stage. And so He condemned sin, that is the fourth stage in sinful man. So in the first stage, God gave us the law, that is the Ten Commandments. And these ten righteous laws show you where you are going wrong, so that you can change your ways and follow Jesus. But we can't. We can't. Because we've been so caged up in this corrupted human nature ever since our conception. Like this bird. I used to have a budgie that was been in this cage ever since it was born. Like this cockatoo here. This bird has been, whole life, this bird has been evolved around this cage. And as you can see here, the owner has left the door open. That door open. Like I used to leave the door open for my budgie to come out. But the bird just refused to come out. Even if it did, it would fly straight back into the cage. Because this bird does not know what freedom is away from this cage. And so in the same way, same with us, we don't know what freedom is to be away from this corrupted human nature because we're so used to it. And God knows that. Oh yes, He knows that. And so in the second stage, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man. In other words, God Jesus was born into this sinful human society, like we just celebrated Jesus' birth, Christmas, 4 days ago. And Jesus took on our personality. But Jesus did not submit to the sinfulness that goes with our human nature. He was completely perfect and righteous. And then, in the third stage, Jesus became the sin offering. Now, God required the death penalty because of the seriousness of sin. He required the death penalty. Now, just stop there for a moment. Just imagine, every single human being that is born on planet Earth is a sinner. Sin against God. No one is right. Everybody falls short of the glory of God. So, which means we should all be killed. There will be no human being, none of us left. But God said, no. He said to the Jews in the Old Testament, said, take a lamb, perfect lamb, without any blemishes whatsoever, not a crippled lamb, but a perfect lamb, and sacrifice that year after year. And so this poor animal was slaughtered, the throat was cut to drain the blood, to bear the sins of the Israelites. So God is saying, look at this animal. That's how much I take the seriousness of sin. This animal has been killed to bear your punishment. And this ritual pointed to the coming of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you can see here, Jesus was the perfect lamb. He was hanging on the cross there for 6 hours, from 3 to 9. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. 6 hours hanging there. And finally He gave up His spirit. And to make sure that He was dead, that soldier had a long spear, and he pierced his right side, went through his lungs into his heart, and when he withdrew the spear, blood and water gushed out. And so Jesus shed the blood for the forgiveness of sin for all people. For you, for me, for everybody. And Hebrews 8:22 tells us, he says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And that was the reason that Jesus stood on the cross, to bear the punishment for us. Jesus took the full force of God's wrath, meant for you and meant for me. Just like this marine soldier, there was a group of them fighting against the Taliban in Afghanistan. It was a fierce battle. And this group was sitting down there having a rest. They thought they had defeated that enemy. But there's one of the enemies threw a grenade right into their midst. And this Marine, without any hesitation, jumped on top of the grenade, using his body as a shield. So when the grenade exploded, he bore the full force of that explosion that killed him instantly. So he gave his life as a substitute for his friends. So the blood of Jesus has destroyed the road to hell for all believers. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And this brings me to the fourth stage. The fourth stage, Jesus condemned sin in sinful man. So our corrupted human nature from birth and all the terrible things we have done, they are condemned, forgiven by Jesus' death and resurrection. So let's go back to verse 1 again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those of you here who want to accept Jesus as God, those of you who are not saved, if you want to accept Jesus as God, this word no is a very strong word. Very strong. It is as strong as saying that the moment you believe and accept Jesus as Lord, you are free from any condemnation. You remember the thief on the cross? Those of you who may not, there's two thieves hanging on the cross next to Jesus. One of them believed in the final hour of his death. Jesus, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Final hour. And he was not condemned. He went to paradise with Jesus. So coming back again to this big question. How can I be sure that I am really saved? How can I be sure I am really saved? So when you totally understand what Jesus has done for you on the cross, and when you believe without any doubt the purpose of his death and his resurrection, and when you understand that and believe that, you ask for forgiveness. You pray, ask for forgiveness. Invite Jesus into your life. And then you change your behavior and follow Jesus. Changing your behavior cannot be done in your own strength. You pray. You pray, ask for God, the Holy Spirit, to help you. Help you each day. Then you know that you are saved. And the other thing is, you also know that you are saved when you compare your behavior today to what you were, say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The terrible things you used to do then, you either do less now or totally abstain. Totally abstain. And then you know that you are saved. And also you have to live a life of thankfulness. You're thankful for whatever you have. You know, my wife is thankful for even finding a parking spot. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a parking spot. A thankful life. And you don't look at life as all gloom and doom, because you've got the peace of God in you. And that is the working of the Holy Spirit in your life right now. You are saved. Now let's go to the last point. The difference between the unsaved and the saved. Verses 5 to 8. Right, so it says here, now these four examples that the Bible has given us are examples of an unsaved person who has not accepted Jesus as God, okay? And it has a lot to do with how you think, how your mind works if you don't have Jesus in you. I've marked them in red, as you can see, the four of them. We'll go to the first one. Now just remember this, if these four examples don't apply to you, then you know that you are saved and you are a child of the living God. So the first one, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. So we are all born with a rebellious nature against the things of God. But you continue to live and think according to that nature. The second one, the mind of a sinful man is death. So there's no change in behavior because you can't accept Jesus as Lord, and therefore that leads to spiritual death. The third one, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So if you cannot accept God's truth about his son Jesus, then your behavior and your thinking is hostile to God. And the fourth one, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And since your behavior is hostile to God, you cannot please Him. Look at this verse. If those who live in accordance with the Spirit have the mindset on what the Spirit desires, if you do that, you'll have the peace of God. Because the Bible says to us that that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You will sleep well, my friends, knowing that no matter what happens to you, God is taking care of you. I've already given you an example of myself, whether in life or in death. I am at peace with God. Now some of you may be saying to yourself, I struggle to do what the Holy Spirit desires, or in other words, struggling to live a life of holiness. So you're wondering whether, am I really saved? Am I really, really saved? Now friends, let me assure you, being holy physically, bodily, doesn't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. It is a life journey. I'm 75 years old, and at times I still struggle with this. You know, a spiritual warfare is happening constantly in our lives, just like the Apostle Paul. Now, for those of us here who are born again, we may have the presence of God in us, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us. But don't forget that the devil is still sitting on our shoulder. Now, let me give you an example. For those of you here who are not saved, who are not committed yourself to God, right this moment, the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to turn from your ways. Come to Jesus. He will be with you. He will bless you. You end up, after your earthly journey, you end up to be in eternal life with Christ Jesus. And on the same side, the devil is sitting on your shoulder, discouraging you, telling you all kinds of things to discourage you from doing that. So there is a constant battle between the good and the evil. I think we need to look at Hebrews 10:14. Now Hebrews 10:14 will explain everything that I've said this morning. Those who are born again and those who are not. Hebrews 10:14 is a magnificent verse. I'd like you to make a note of that for your own benefit. It's only one verse, but I've divided this one verse into three parts to make it easier, better to understand. Hebrews 10:14, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Beautiful verse. Let me explain this verse by means of a diagram. Alright? This is our journey in life. The top line is the holiness of God. The bottom line is the sinfulness of humanity. If there is no conversion from the time of your birth to the time of your death, we are totally separated from God from birth to death. And after death, right into eternal torment. That's what happens for those who have not received Jesus as Lord. There's no conversion. Now let's look at the second diagram. Same thing, this is our journey in life. That's the holiness of God on the top. Now, because of one sacrifice, Jesus died once. That's it. Now he's going to do again and again and again. That's the difference between the Protestant and the Catholic. You look at this cross here. This cross here has no Jesus hanging down there. Whereas you compare to the Catholic, Christ is still hanging down there. Here, Jesus has died, resurrected, gone to heaven. Died once, that's it. So those that Jesus died, and those who believe in him, those who accepted him as Lord and Savior, they are justified. They are justified. So justification is on the third line on your left. And justification means that God sees you spiritually, just as if you have not sinned. That's what justification means. Just as if you have not sinned. So therefore, spiritually, you are perfect forever, because you are covered with the blood of Christ. God sees you spiritually as perfect forever. And when you pass on, you have eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord. But physical holiness, now we talk about physical now, physical holiness is progressive. It's progressive in the sense that when you become a born-again Christian, initially you would struggle. You would struggle up and down. You do things. You're still finding your ways around. But as you slowly mature in your walk with Jesus, you will sin less and less and less until you die. You're not perfect, but you sin less and less. You are still physically holy. And And as I said, you will sin less and less and less. As John, in the Gospel of John, he tells us that, 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. That's the reason, as you slowly mature physically, you become more holy. So when we do sin as a born-again Christian, please, my friend, ask for forgiveness. Learn from your mistakes and move on. Don't let the devil or anyone discourage you. You are saved. And keep praying for guidance. Keep praying for strength of the Holy Spirit to keep guiding you. And remember this, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is by your side. So finish your earthly journey faithfully, and God Jesus will bring you safely to your eternal home. Now for those of you here who are not saved, you can choose to listen to the devil's discouragement and reject eternal life with Jesus. It's up to you. And God will give you exactly what you want, the desires of the flesh. But just remember this, my friend, for whatever you sow in this lifetime, you will certainly reap the destruction of your own body and soul. Now some of you may say to yourself, oh, I come to church every Sunday. I've got a Bible. I come to church every Sunday, so I'm alright. I'm a Christian. Now friends, coming to church every Sunday, holding a Bible in your hand, it does not make you a Christian. Neither going to the chemist and holding a prescription in your hand makes you a pharmacist. It doesn't happen like that. You have to make a commitment. That's what it is. You have to make a commitment. Now I'm going to close with the sinner's prayer. Alright? So for those of you who want to receive Jesus as Lord, genuinely want to receive Jesus as Lord, please, I encourage you to pray this sinner's prayer after me. And when you do pray, pray meaningfully. Pray that you desire Christ to come into your life. Okay? And those of you who don't want to, well, I hope you would. But it's up to the Holy Spirit to lead you accordingly. So let us pray. Sinners pray. God, I know that I am a sinner. Please, forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Today, I want to turn away from my old self. Please, Lord, come into my life and be my God and Savior. I choose to follow you from this day onward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, friends, for those of you who have prayed this prayer, did you know there's great rejoicing in heaven? If you pray this prayer, genuine pray this prayer, a lost is found. There's great rejoicing. So I would like you to share this joy. If it's rejoicing in heaven, let us rejoice on earth as well. Share this with your friends. Tell your friends, look, I pray the sinner's prayer. And especially tell it to your pastor Andy, and he will help you. As from this day, it's a great day to come to Christ, starting a new year of 2020, being a child of Christ. And Pastor Andy will help you and prepare you for baptism. Because Jesus did say, believe and be baptized. So talk to your Pastor Andy, and it's a time of rejoicing. Okay? May God bless you all.